Welcome to the High Adventure Scouting Podcast. This is the source for all things high adventure for scouts, scouters, and anyone else interested in promoting high adventure trips for our youth. You can find all kinds of great high adventure options for your scouts at highadventurescouting.com. We are constantly updating the list of cool trips, and we want your input on your best trip. Welcome, high adventure enthusiasts. We are excited, as always, to highlight a high adventure base on this edition of the High Adventure Scouting Podcast. Today, we're joined by David Brock. He's the current director for the Floodwood Mountain High Adventure Program. Now, Floodwood is located in Lake Clear, New York, upstate New York, and it's operated by the Northern New Jersey Council of the Boy Scouts of America. David, thanks for joining us today on the High Adventure Scouting Podcast.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Glad to have you. Now, the purpose of this podcast, if you listen to these at all, is to give listeners a little more information about your program offerings. And I'm sure many outside the regional area, like myself, didn't know much about your programs. For those of you listening who want a total overview of Floodwood Mountain High Adventure Program, the episode from 2020 is a great place to start. That's kind of the overview of everything. This time around, I want to have an update of things that happened maybe last year, coming up this year, and what you guys have planned down the road. So how did the year go last year? We're 1 year out of the year out of COVID. So how did your season go last year, 2022?
So we were 2 years out of COVID. We did open in 21, and we opened again in 22, and we had an excellent year. I had a lot of returning staff members and a few new people. We sent 23 groups out on trek. It's a smaller year for us, but we did fill every week. And we had some groups really do some hiking. We had a few more girl groups this year as we get more Girl Scouting USA troops.
That's a hard one to do with us scouters. You want to go back to Boy Scouts, and it's hard to say Scouts BSA because we're just not used to it. So,
and we had one group that came up with three guys who were 18 years old who had just graduated from high school and were going off to college, and they went out with two adults and my Voyager, and one of the adults was a woman and my Voyager was another woman, and they did 97 miles in that trip. They just really pushed it, and they were so annoyed. They carefully mapped it out, and it's like, you're kidding, 97 miles? We needed three more. Let's get back in the boats.
Absolutely. I would have done the same thing.
And also very nice last year, in 2020, coming out of COVID, we had some problems with fire suppression systems and all sorts of state regulations on our water ski boat, and we weren't able to offer that. But in 22, we were back with our water ski boat, and so that was great to get our scouts back up on water skis or tubing. That was another thing.
Perfect.
This year, we've got a lot of troops signed up, and very exciting. We have a group coming from Essex in the UK. They're going to come over to America, spend some time at a more residential scout troop in the Adirondacks, and then they're going to bring three groups of scouts through Floodwood in our last 2 weeks of camp. We'll have a midweek group and a group week four and week five. So doing a lot of planning and logistics of how to get that many scouts through our program.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm sure that's a little bit more expensive for them than it would be for us to go to any high adventure base in the U.S.
Yes. But they're excited. I mean, they're in Essex, and it's pretty flat there. They're on the coast. So, and we're offering them the Adirondack Park. And some of them are saying, hey, I've canoed before. I've done paddle sports before. Get me into the high peaks and, show me some of those mountains.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. How did they hear about your program?
That's curious. That's a very good question. Maybe I'd love to say that had gone to, you know, High Adventure Scouting, but they approached us. And so, you know, but it's been years in the planning, you know, for them, you know, it's quite a bit going into this, planes and buses and hotels and all sorts of things. But it's all coming to fruition. And right now we're at the stage of figuring out, you know, which treks they're going to go on and, you know, how we're cycling them through the camp. So it's a great thing. And it's nice to get groups from Virginia and Massachusetts, but it's nice to get some people from a real distance coming to our camp.
That's pretty cool. That's a major thing. And I know it's going to be a lot of planning for you guys, but I think that'll be a lifelong memory for those coming from the UK. So what's else is coming up this summer? I mean, do you have any spots available, or are you completely full?
No, we're not. So we are open from July 9th through August 12th. We run 5 1-week sessions. People come up on Sunday and leave on Saturday. And I do have space weeks 1, 2, and 3, essentially, you know, the last 3 weeks of July. And, you know, so if you're interested, I'm sure we'll give the URL at the end. But, you know, please come up to the camp, or, you know, go to the URL, get in touch. They'll put you in touch with me. I'm always happy to talk on the phone. And, you know, we have space, and we'd love to have you come and join us for the summer.
I know you like to talk. We talked for 15 minutes before we started recording. So. That was good. What new things have you guys put in place, or what is coming up, yeah, maybe down the road that you're working on for the camp, for the High Adventure?
Really what we're trying to do, you know, is expand out the number of people that we can have up. We're trying to get our Rollins canoe base open a little more. We have the West Pine base camp and the Rollins canoe base, and we've been working there on plumbing and sites, and would be happy to have people come and, you know, even spend 1 or 2 days in camp at Rollins, because it's just such a beautiful spot. We're on a point right on the water, and there are lots of activities, and, you know, we have water skiing, we have hiking, we can have troop swims, we have 2 sailboats, and if people were interested, we would get those out and work those again. We also have a great activities field. We've brought back archery, we have tomahawk throwing, we have 2-man crosscut saw, where we put a big log about, you know, 14 inches in diameter, and you get 2 scouts on there, and they work pretty hard, push pull, getting the saw, getting through the log, and they cut themselves off a nice inch and a half end of the log, and then they, you know, bring it over, and we brand it with the name of the camp. Lots of troops sign their names on it, and so we're adding more activities to our activities field.
Well, that sounds cool. That sounds awesome. What kind of costs are for 2023 for each person? What's the current cost?
So we are at $585 if you take advantage of our early bird rate, which ends on April 17th, and then after that we jump up to $630 per person, and due to the fact that we have to provide a lot of freeze-dried food, we charge both the scouts and the adult leaders.
Right, right. Now that's really not a bad price. I mean, that's around where most of the council-based high adventure bases are, and they're much more affordable for larger groups than some of the larger BSA high adventure bases. I've been to all of them. They're all awesome. But not everybody can foot the bill for those high adventure bases. So it's good to have a mix. In our troop, yep, we try to have a mix of, you know, okay, every year we've got a big event, and then for maybe the 14, 15-year-olds that are just coming in, maybe we'll have a different event that is a little closer to home that isn't quite as expensive, so you can get your cost wise, so get your feet in the water, so to speak. So that's good.
You know, I'm always telling local troops that, you know, hey, Philmont, Northern Tier, Sea Base, those are great places to go. But, you know, it's not something you can afford every year with plane flights. But for, you know, the entire New York metropolitan area, you know, Floodwood is put some kids and 2 liters in a minivan and come on up here, you know, 4 to 6 hour drive, and you're in the wilderness.
Absolutely. Over the past couple of years since I developed this website and eventually this podcast, I found all kinds of awesome resources online that really helped myself and our scouts and scouters on some of our trips. A couple of friends that I've developed over the last couple of years, one is Jeff Kress. He has a great website called gear-report.com, where he has all kinds of information on Philmont and backpacking and other resources that really will kind of help spearhead your trip and give you some really good ideas. The other is Andy Parrish, and he has a YouTube channel called Andy Parrish Outdoors. I personally used, before I ever even knew Andy, I used this resource for getting ready for our Philmont treks. And great resource, great gear reviews, lots of interesting information, and he's generally a pretty down-to-earth guy. So both of those resources are great. There are others that I use, but those are two scouter friends of mine that recommend highly. So check out gear-report.com and go on YouTube and check out Andy Parrish Outdoors. What is the closest airport for those wanting to fly into air? Is it Albany? So
Burlington is about 2.5 hours away, because I have to I've just learned all this, and you can fly direct from Burlington, Vermont to Denver, Colorado. Albany would be close. We do have a small airport right in right 30 minutes from the camp. I don't even know the airline that services it, and it's puddle jumping to Boston and down to New York City. Right. If you were flying from a distance, I'd say Albany. You know, our international scouts are coming into New York City and then taking a bus up to the camp.
Perfect. Okay. And that's always curious for those coming from outside the area. It makes it a little easier to plan for those kind of events. I mean, where I'm at in St. Louis, we can, if we're going west, we can ride the train. Can't do that much going east, but or drive. And where you guys are at, that's a 2-day drive for us. So
yep.
So you have to really plan ahead if you're going
to. We have had people make the 2-day drive and come up to see us. You know, I work very hard to make sure that we're ready for them to arrive late and get them out early so that they can get home.
Oh, absolutely. So what else would you like to talk about? Because I've kind of got an idea where yep. you guys are at and what you're doing. So what else did we leave out in the initial episode, or things that I've left out so far?
So, one of the things I thought I just wanted to kind of quickly do, and that Steve and Jordan, with all the information they give, they didn't get to us. I just wanted to talk about what is a typical week at Floodwood look like for a troop.
Perfect.
So, our troops come in on Sunday, and we get them through a swim test and a medical recheck, as every scout camp does, and then they meet their voyager, who, as we've covered before, is your staff member for the week. This is a trained staff member who will be with you on your trek and will help you prepare and then take you out. So you work with your voyager and you select your freeze-dried meals. You also do a gear shakedown. Your voyager will usually ask everyone to lay their packs out and show me a sleeping bag, show me a cup and spoon, show me 2 water bottles. After we get through all that, we have a nice opening ceremony with flags. Everyone sits down to outdoor tables under carports, and we have a big barbecue. And then we have a leaders meeting, and we kind of finalize all the schedules and trips and kind of lay out the week so that we know who's going where and when they're going to do some of the in-camp activities on Friday. Monday morning, you load up and you leave on trek. Some guys leave at 6:30 in the morning. Some guys leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. We have a lot of people moving around, and we've got to load them into vans and put canoes on trailers. And, you know, some people are going an hour and a half on the road because we're going to take them out and they're going to canoe back into camp. Some people are going down to our Rollins canoe base, and they're going to go out from there. And instead, on Friday morning, we drive out and pick you up. Then typically you're canoeing from Monday until Friday morning when we come and pick you up. Typically groups get on the water at 7:30 in the morning. We always suggest that because it's much better to canoe, you know, before the heat of the day. On some places we have to share the water with motorboats, and most people don't boat that early in the morning. And, you know, it's just great to get your canoeing done for the day, finish up about 1:30. Land, have lunch, make camp. You got to filter water and get firewood. And then we usually switch, and we're working on canoeing merit badge with groups at that time. We're looking to add wilderness survival merit badge. And so that's another thing that your Voyager would work with you in the afternoons. Another thing that's, part of Floodwood is portages, where you get to carry the canoe over land. And some of the portages are short, you know, they're 100 yards, and some of them are 1.4 miles long.
Oh my God.
And so it really kind of varies on, you know, the trip and really the age and size of your scouts. But everyone can make it. I've seen guys, you know, I've seen four, you know, scrawny 13-year-olds, you know, first carry their packs, and then come back, and the four of them lift one of their Grumman canoes, and they carry it, and they go back, and they get the other canoe. And then they're done, and, you know, there's a real sense of accomplishment. Some of our treks, you know, have, you know, up to 15, 16 portages, some short, some long. And, you know, this is something that 15, 16-year-olds do, and it's just a great experience, because doing those types of portages, you can go way into the backcountry where there's no roads. Really, it's hard to hike in. It's just other canoeists. And the other thing that you can do is the fishing at Floodwood is great. I taught one of my fellow Assassin Scoutmasters how to fly fish, and now he's my fishing buddy. There's lots of large and smallmouth bass, pike, lots of panfish, sunfish, that type of thing. But you can always catch fish. You know, there's great trout fishing, but it's really more of the spring and the fall, and not so much while we're up at camp. So Friday, you come back into camp, and you usually come in early. Pickups are 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. We get you back into camp, and then we have lots of camp activities. I mentioned the water skiing and water tubing. Not everyone can get up on water skis, but we can put you on a water tube. We have a water ski boat, and the staff members who drive that are New York State licensed boat operators. We also have a natural rock climbing wall. And so it's great. You climb up to the top and then you walk along, and then you rappel down another natural rock face on the other side. And, you know, it's, you know, climbing towers are great, but, you know, this is the real thing. And as I mentioned, we do have a activities field with archery, tomahawk throwing, two-man crosscut. And, you know, there's great hiking. We have Floodwood Mountain nearby. Most people are pretty tired by Friday, but if they wanted to do that, that's always available. You know, we finish up with another outdoor barbecue. We all eat together, the whole camp and campfire. And then Saturday morning, everyone loads up and they leave, and we reset for the next week.
Perfect. Now, you talked a lot about the canoeing. How about backpacking? Do people take that option?
You know, absolutely. The Adirondacks Park has the high peaks. These are the 46 peaks that are over 4,000 feet. Many people try to collect all 46 and become a 46er. We are about an hour from the Adirondack Lodge, or LOJ, and this is kind of the entrance to the High Peaks. And so we do have groups that come out and hike. We also have groups who will go out Monday morning, stay out Monday and Tuesday. We'll pick them up on Wednesday, bring them back. They usually reset their gear a little bit, and then they go out for another two nights of canoeing and kind of get the best of both. But, you know, the first time I hiked in the High Peaks, everyone was telling me, oh, you know, this is a great practice for Philmont. I've never been to Philmont, but the other people I was with told me, Philmont's got lots of back and forth switchbacks. High Peaks, you go straight up the mountain. So it is some challenging hiking. Yeah. And, you know, the scenery is just spectacular.
Much easier as far as I'm concerned.
No, yes, they are. And the High Peaks are, the High Peaks are walk three steps, you know, put your foot up on a rock, grab a tree, lift yourself up about 2 feet, and then do it again and again and again until you're to the top of the mountain. So it's some challenging hiking, but it's absolutely worth it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. What have I missed? You've kind of covered an awful lot.
What have I missed? I wanted to, in the sake of saying what the camp is all about, just kind of paraphrase our mission statement, which is comes off as boilerplate. But what we really do is we help to develop the character through challenging outdoor adventure. You know, we do that through trained, motivated staff, an exciting program to educate and challenge. And then, we encourage everyone to achieve their really highest possible goals. And then the other thing that we always are after is to make sure people have fun.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I will tell you the episode for Floodwood Mountain we did in 2020 is, I think it's about the longest episode I've ever done. It's over an hour. So there's an awful lot of information in there. And, they went through it an awful lot, and we missed a few things, but I think we've covered most of them today. So, well, David, I want to thank you for joining us today on the High Adventure Scouting Podcast.
I want to thank you for having me and for really what you're doing to make sure that everybody knows about all these great camps. I was looking around and I saw a place in South Carolina that looks just amazing.
They're all amazing in their own way, and I want to go to all of them, but it's not so much money, but it's time. I can never get enough time. So, I want to thank David Brock, director for the Floodwood Mountain High Adventure Program, for joining us today. Now you can get more information on their programs at floodwood.org. Thanks for joining us today. And remember to tell your friends about this podcast. You can find us online at highadventurescouting.com, on Facebook, or Instagram. If you have any questions or ideas for future podcasts, just email us at info@highadventurescouting.com. This podcast and website are independent and not affiliated with any youth organization. Happy High Adventure! This has been a production of High Adventure Resources 2018, all rights reserved.